This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, it's quite sad that we have to remind ourselves, the Muslim Ummah, the Muslim individuals, about such a topic or danger of such a topic, even though this will be the blessed days of Eid that we find days of celebration, days of takbir, tahmid and tahleel and tasbih and praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasalli li rabbika wanhab, in the short surah that we find, the shortest surah inside the Quran, but immense belief and immense practice that we find, that dedicate yourself in your prayers and your sacrifice towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, we're going to find, and it's quite shameful that we have to discuss such a topic on a member of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that certain individuals will not be practicing their deen, making takbir and tahmeed the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a sad reality that years have gone by, or years have piled up, that this behavior continues to increase. And we have to begin or return back to give a stern warning to remind ourselves, the Muslims, and likewise the wider society around us, the danger of such practices that we find. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, 1400 or 40 years ago, prophesied or warned us and told us to stay away from certain practices for our own benefit. And sad it is that we, 1400 years later, still fail to perceive, to understand the warnings that he gave us, and before that, the warnings inside the Quran to stay away from such evil practices. For Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam qal, naha Rasulullah an kulli muskirin wa mufattirin, in a hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood, in a book of speaking about drinks and food. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam forbade us from anything that intoxicates the mind, or any form of narcotic substance that clouds the mind, clouds the judgment, anything that tarnishes the mind, blemishes the mind, intoxicates the mind, has all been prohibited by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 1440 years ago that we find. And that's why we find that so-called well-versed individuals of the world around us, who claim to be well-advanced, well-equipped and well-disciplined inside their lives, yet fail to see the dangers of this destroying their society, and we ourselves destroying our own society with these evil practices amongst us. We find that Islam is based upon iman, based upon faith, and based upon application. Because some of us just think that just to have the right iman is sufficient. That is a good start for all of us. But it's the application that we find that at times we fail to apply inside our lives, whether it be on a personal level or on a global level. We as a Muslim Ummah, we know so many things, we fail to apply them. It's not just sufficient to have the iman. You have to have that iman, apply that iman inside our lives. And this is what sometimes that we're lacking. We know what is halal, we know what is haram, but its application at times is weakened or taken away from us. And the sad thing is that sometimes non-Muslims, they don't have the iman, but they've applied certain things. And for some of us, it may sound very, very strange. They've actually made tahrimul khamr. They themselves made khamr, alcohol. They made it haram at a certain stage inside their lives. Read through historical data from 1920 to 1933, for 13 years, inside the United States of America, alcohol was made haram for 13 years. The buying and selling, the transportation of alcohol was haram inside the United States of America. They don't have iman, but they had the application to see the dangers. 100 or so years ago, they recognized the dangers of alcohol, of destroying their society, so they made it haram for 13 years. But because they never had the iman, you find that they began to still drink, or begin to have this urge, this desire to return back to drinking. So the government had to legalize it once again. But according to their own statistical data, they concluded that the best 13 years of the life of human beings was during that time, where it was forbidden that people were staying away from alcoholic drinks. And this should be a lesson for ourselves, that we claim to have the iman, but we lack at times the application. They sometimes follow application, but they lack the iman. And that's what we find even inside the study of the Quranic verses speak about tahrim al-khamr. In the hadith of Aisha, that we find that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first straight away made khamr to be haram upon the people, they would not stay away from it, because it was an integral part of their life. It was a part and parcel of their life that they were known to drink. And no one should take offences, but it's been documented there were certain companions before khamr was made haram, were notorious, known to drink alcohol. It was part of their life, part of their culture, and would drink even whilst being companions until the final verses and we touched the came inside Surah Al-Ma'idah. Thus we find that these stages obviously don't exist in today's world, but just to help us to understand what happened inside that society, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew, understood the dangers, and laid out to stay away from it. Hatta you find kalima tajir, the word, the business merchant, in essence in the Arabic language, goes back to the one who used to buy and sell alcohol. That was the meaning of the word business merchant, tajir, who is known to sell alcohol to the people. People buy and sell alcohol from that individual that we find. And thus we find that these stages of prohibiting alcohol that we find that's indoctrinated inside their society, part and parcel of their lives. Hatta you find al-shu'ara, the poets, they used to write such evil lines of poetry. Why admit to, even if I die, then bury me next to a great vine tree, so the juice of the grapes can enter into my grave and nourish my veins, nourish my body, keep me in a state of intoxication. To such a degree, poetry in the Arabic language is full of nothing but women, of horses, and shurb al-khamr. These are the three main themes you study at Shi'r al-Jahiliyyah. Pre-Islamic, historic poetry you study. This is what existed amongst them. That's all that they spoke about. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began to speak to these individuals, to warn these individuals, take these individuals away. Ulama of Ulum al-Quran mentioned three stages. But in essence, there are four stages. Because first you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first gives an ishara. Ishara al-khafiyah, hidden message inside certain verses to highlight the danger of the use of the substance that we find inside Surah An-Nahl. وَمِنْ ثَمْرَاتِ النَّخِيلِ وَالْأَعْنَابِ, from the fruits of the date palm tree, and likewise وَالْأَعْنَابِ, from the grape tree, تَتَّخِذُونَ مِنْهُ سَكَرًا وَرِزْقًا, you take from it a form of drink, and sustenance given to you, وَرِزْقًا حَسَنًا, good provision is given from you. There's nothing haram about date palm trees, or dates, or about grapes, of indab, nothing haram about it. You take a good substance to drink, which is given to you. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ إِشَّارَ الْخَفِيَّةِ فَهِمَهَا مَنْ فَهِمَهَا, a hidden message was given inside that. Inside there are signs for people who comprehend, begin to understand. That some of the ulama of tafsir, they mentioned that Umar ibn Khattab, he understood this. He said, this is ishara khafiyya. This is pointing that there's something dangerous. There's something wrong with these sweet drinks. These drinks that we have as part of our life, there's something that's not right about these drinks that needs to be highlighted. In other wordings, like tafsir ibn Kathir, eventually kept on persisting, asking for certain verses, asking for legislation to come to speak about this. You find that khamr, alcohol, is generally made from five substances. From dates, from grapes, from barley, from wheat, is what it's made from in general. Good things. But this is the nature of people that we find, taking good things and finding the haram out of them. Thus you find the second stage, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. Now they begin to pose this question after Isha. They want to ask that, what is wrong? They ask you about khamr and maysir, about wine and gambling. Ibn Abbas mentions that the companions only asked some 11 or 12 questions. Study the Quran, whenever it mentions يَسْأَلُونَكَ, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيلِ, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ, they ask you about the soul, they ask you about the menstrual cycle, they ask you about wine, gambling, they ask you about the soul, the spirit, they ask you about anil ahilla, they ask you about the crescent. Study these 11, 12 questions inside the Quran. Questions of the companions were for benefit the people, benefit themselves, benefit the people around them. Wasn't just questioning just for the sake of nitpicking things, but to learn to benefit themselves. They had this urge, this desire within themselves that even the corruption around them, they want to purify themselves. They want to become good, pure individuals. They ask you about the drinking of wine and the gambling. What does Allah say about this? قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا. Say that there is some benefit. There's some benefit in wine and in gambling. But the sin, the vice, far outdoes the benefit. What is the benefit of alcohol that we find? A petty benefit. You find from the tax revenues what they classify as sin tax. Hatta rakiz wal kalimat. Look at the language that they use. It's called sin tax, vice tax, evil practice tax. The benefit they gain from is billions, is what they gain from the alcohol industry. However, on the opposite side, what is the harms? It costs this government, the National Health Service, more than £3.5 billion. It costs this government to deal with alcohol abuse, deal with alcohol problems, alcohol sicknesses that we find. In America, it costs them $249 billion. This so-called state that talks about being a developed nation that's going to civilize us, civilize the Muslim Ummah. As they say, civilize your own home before you civilize other people. There have been approximately 86,000 deaths per year. The third biggest thing that kills American society is alcohol. The first being tobacco. The second being obesity. There's more people that died of alcohol abuse, more than the amount of American soldiers that fought in their battles. And they want to fix the problems of the world. They're so busy, they want to fix our problems. Even inside this country that we find, in the previous research that we conducted, some 7,000 people die annually due to alcohol abuse. 2017 has gone to something like 7,695 odd people. An increase of 700 odd people in a few years. This is what this society is facing at the moment. And they want to talk about the so-called global war on terrorism. This is, as even the Metropolitan Police have concluded, this is the real problem. The real problem within our society is alcohol abuse. The taking of alcohol that we find. And thus we find at the third stage, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ أَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى حَتَّى تَعْلَمُوا مَا تَقُولُونَ. Inside Surah An-Nisa that we find, oh, you believe, don't come close to alcoholic drinks or intoxications, because this takes you away. This turns you from salah. Read the tafsir of Ibn Kathir. بعض الناس جلسوا. They sat down and they began to drink. And they began to drink alcohol till one of them, he led them inside Maghrib salah. He didn't know what he was reading. So from there you find this warning came down that when you come to prayer, don't take any intoxicants. Don't take any drinks. Other narrations mention that tafsir of Ibn Kathir, that they began to get drunk. And one of the companions struck another companion on his nose and left a gash on his nose, that he remembered it for the rest of his life. This was the impact of alcohol. They began to understand it harms them. So they began to stay away from alcohol when it was a time of prayer. But they used to drink outside the time of prayer. But yet there was an element of guilt. Consciousness within themselves, something is not right. And that's why Umar was persistent in saying, this is not sufficient. Verses have to come down to prohibit alcohol categorically. It needs to be forbidden. Needs to be made haram. Till eventually you find inside Surah Al-Ma'idah, there is no verse inside the Quran that makes something haram in this manner. You can study these ayat in Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th chapter, verses 90, 91 and 92, just to complete the verses. يَا يُلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَن ذِكْرِ اللَّيْلِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ فَهَلْ أَنتُم مُّنْتَهُونَ وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَاحْذَرُوا. Clear warnings. No other passage inside the Quran do you find where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala categorically makes something to be forbidden. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, he studied these ayah in great detail. Oh, you believe, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about wine and gambling and sacrificing the stones and the throwing of divine arrows. These are acts of shirk. And shirk is to do with idols and statues that we find. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala couple drink, alcohol, intoxicants? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala couple it with the rest of these evil actions? What is the relationship? Some of the ulama of ulum al-Quran have mentioned that you find that the impact of alcohol, the drunkenness of alcohol, leads the person to an element of worshipping their own self, worshipping things around, losing their senses. That you find in certain narrations that we find, من مدمن الخمر إن مات لقي الله كعابد وثن. Person who's addicted to alcohol, ومات على ذلك, dies upon that, he's addicted to alcohol, will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if he was a worshipper of a statue of an idol. That's how we meet Allah. Hadith Sahih, Al-Jami' of Imam Tabrani, checked by late Shaykh Al-Sham of Sham, Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, rahmatullahi alayh. Mudminu al-khamar, one who's addicted to alcohol and dies upon that, will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if that person is one who's worshipping statues on this earth. Is a mushrik with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Severe warnings. Person to die in that state. That's what you find the ayah speaks about, the action of shirk, of committing shirk. That's why some of us, we try to link shirk with only certain practices. As you mentioned many times, a shahwat, desires, if it overcomes you, that's also shirk. Billah, you can't control yourself. You can't abstain. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. You can't abstain from certain things. It overrides you. So don't just blame a person who comes and may come to a statue and bow down to it because of their ignorance or the practice around them. You're equally blameworthy as well to a certain degree. That you know that something is haram, you know something is forbidden, but the love of your desires overcomes you, that it overrides you and this becomes part of your life. Likewise, we find that such words are used, Ummul Khaba'ith, that we find Ummul Fawahish, Kulli Khati'ah, وَرَأْسُ كُلِّ شَرْ. All these various names that we find mentioned inside a hadith, indirectly or directly, that we find. One narration that we find, Abu Darda said, أَوْصَانِي خَلِيلِي. You know, the Prophet ﷺ, he cared about his friends. He cared about his companions. He spoke about all various topics, various issues, various problems. He addressed them. So Abu Darda, he feels the impact. He said, Awsani Khalili. Once again, study so many ahadith narrations speak about Awsani Khalili, Habibi, Sadiqi, Sahibi, my friend, my beloved friend, my comrade, my best individual. What advice did he give me? What did he say to Abu Darda? لا تشرب الشمر خمر فإنه أبواب أو باب لكل شر أو مفتاح لكل شر أو كما قال sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith in Sunan Ibn Majah. It is the door of all evil. Alcohol or intoxicants opens up every form of sin. It opens up for the individual via the taking of intoxicants that we find. رِجْسُ مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Allah mentioned this is the filthy handiwork of the devil, categorically, clearly. This is the handiwork of the devil. This is not the handiwork of other individuals. This is the essence of shaitan playing inside the mind and the actions of human beings. فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Ulama of Usul al-Fiqh mentioned, Al-Ijtinab أَشَدُّ مِنَ التَّحْرِيمِ. When the Quran says, حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ, this is forbidden for you, this is haram for you to do, there's something even more severe than that. Is there something more severe than inside the Arabic language, inside the Quran? Yes, there is. فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Al-Ijtinab, stay totally away, don't come anything close. Any element, anything to do with alcohol, stay away from it totally. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, that you may become successful. Why? إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. What does shaitan want to do with alcohol? With gambling, what does it lead to? It leads to animosity, hatred. Once again, the Metropolitan Police have concluded the most, or the World Police has concluded most elements of rape, murder, crime, offense is down to what? Alcohol abuse. It's down to alcohol abuse. They even said that they would love to curtail the hours, restrict the hours, restrict the licenses, restrict the environment. This is not Muslims. These are non-Muslims. They want to restrict, codify alcohol. They want to restrict it because they see the danger, the harm upon their own society. As we Muslims, we live in a liberal world. As we're going to speak of, we live in a very liberal world. We live the opposite. We know something is haram, but yet we like to spread it inside society. We like to thrive inside society. We like to enjoy it inside our society. And think this is some form of development. This so-called development world, are they going backwards? They recognize the dangers. They want to clamp down on the dangers. They want a better, wholesome society for the subjects around them. Likewise, we find that this disorder, cost the government £7.3 billion a year. Alcohol, abuse, disorder, crime, violence, that's what it costs us taxpayers inside this society. £7.3 billion goes towards controlling this. وَيَسُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّيْهُ عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. As for Muslims, what happens? Drinking alcohol takes you away from the dhikr of Allah. The greatest dhikr of Allah is as-salah. It's the prayer. A person who's addicted to intoxicants loses focus of time, place, mind, faculties. Doesn't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith inside Sahih Muslim. Allah has made a promise to whoever drinks intoxicants that we make him drink from Tinul Khabal. Tinul Khabal is, now we explain this hadith, mentioned the mud, the pus, the blood, the sweat, the coming out of the evil substances of the people of Jahannam will be the drink of the people who used to drink intoxicants inside this dunya. Another hadith in Sahih Muslim that we find, he who drinks alcohol or drinks wine in this world and dies while he's addicted to it will not have anything, and does not repent, will not have the drink of the hereafter given to the individual. There's a general golden rule upon living upon this earth. Anything Allah makes haram in this dunya, you will get it where? Inside the akhirah. You take it in this dunya, you lose it inside the akhirah. Inside the akhirah, sharaban tahura. Allah mentions words that we can relate to, sharab, drink. But a drink which is what? Tahura. A drink which is pure. Does it take away the mind? A good drink for people to drink inside the akhirah. You find four rivers. Rivers inside Jannah that we find. Allah categorically mentions rivers of wine. لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ. Delicious taste for the people who drink it. But this will be given to whom? People who abstain inside this dunya. People who abstain from everything that Allah tells us to stay away from inside this dunya. Will give it inside al-akhirah. Will be given to those individuals. But whoever rushes to take it inside this dunya, even though it's impure, it's not the right substance, then that person will make haram inside the akhirah to be given to that individual. Some narrations they mention in the Sunnah Imam Nasa'i that we find, a mudminul khamr la yadkhulul jannah. Even as a discussion of ulama al-hadith, of the authenticity of these ahadith, but the meaning of the essence is something that should trouble us. Mudminul khamr la yadkhulul jannah. Person who's addicted to intoxicants will never ever enter paradise. Harsh words for a person to begin to think that if I'm addicted to these substances, I die in this state, then I've made Jannah haram upon my own self in carrying out these evil practices. And likewise, but some of us may think that I don't drink alcohol, but I facilitate it. Lu'inat. Hadith inside Sahih Muslim, find 10 types of individuals. Because this is where sometimes some Muslims, us average Muslims, fall prey to. I don't drink alcohol, but I sell it, I serve it, I pour it, I sit on the table, I work in that environment, I transport it, I travel it, I crush the grapes. No. Hadith inside Sahih Muslim, all of them are cursed. So that's why when we ask ourselves, why am I not happy in my life? Why is there no barakah inside my wealth? Why is there no goodness inside my life? The answer is quite simple. There must be something that we're doing inside our life that's tainted. That's tainted with something which is haram. They're taking away the barakah from our life. So that's what some Muslims, they think, I don't drink, but I just facilitate it. It's equally cursed. Likewise, when some people, they think al-khamr is only alcohol. That's what some average Muslims, they think that whenever the Quran speaks about al-khamr, it's speaking about only alcohol. Whether it be wine, beer, AIDS, whatever it may be. That's what it means. That's a misunderstanding of the Quran. That's a misunderstanding of the Arabic language. It's a misunderstanding because al-khamr isn't just in alcohol. Al-khamr, hatta lughatan wa ma ghab al-aql. Al-khamr is whatever clouds the mind. Whatever clouds the mind is classified as an intoxicant. In today's language, what is common inside our society, the taking of drugs, smoking, qad, shisha, and hatta you find but adwiyat, some medicines they find in America at the moment. They're all forms of drugs, intoxicants. They cloud the mind. Anything that clouds the mind, according to Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is classified as khamr. Not just alcohol and some people that they think. Because they try to think they're deceiving the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They think it speaks specifically about this law. Anything. Ma askara kathiru fa qalilu haram. Hadith inside Sahih Muslim. Once again, people think that I don't take such large substances, it doesn't intoxicate me. The Sharia says whatever intoxicates you inside large amounts is forbidden in small amounts. There's no distinction. There's no distinction. These people, what they have known as binge drinking, it's a serious problem. 1 in 10 hospital beds inside this country are taken up by people who carry out alcohol abuse. Their own doctors are debating at the moment whether we should treat these individuals or not. Do they deserve treatment for bringing this upon their own selves, binge drinking, drinking of excessive alcohol? Why should we treat these individuals? It costs the taxpayer, it costs the government, it costs time. They don't deserve this treatment. It's a big debate taking place about these people, the impact of alcohol inside their lives that we find. And as we as Muslims, we need to begin to understand the dangers of these intoxicants to stay away from them. We find that inside this society, they try to give this practice that the alleviation of one's mind and soul is by the taking of alcohol substances or intoxicants to sober the mind, to relax the mind, to give a good feeling for them to return back to their life. Read such studies, Alcohol and the Body, written by non-Muslim specialists about the dangers of alcohol. Alcohol numbs the brain, dumbs the brain. It has no medicinal purposes, that it relaxes yourself. It damages your mind. Uthman ibn Affan mentioned that al-khamr is what robs the mind, robs al-aql, steals from your brain. Something which is stolen from you never returns back once again to its normal concept. That's the danger of al-khamr. That's why study people who've been taking intoxicants for many years of their life. Study their character, study their behavior, study their language, study their attire, study them, what you see about them. It's robbed away from them. Everything is taken away from them. And likewise, Uthman ibn Affan, he warned. Some ulama begin to make a critique or study about this narration. Ayyhal is something he's speaking in a khutbah he gave, or a sermon he gave, or an advice, or maybe even a metaphor just to help us to understand. As collected by Imam Bayhaqi, he mentions once a pious individual there was, and an immoral woman. She wanted to put this individual to trial, just like we find the society around us, because this is what their mind is, that you Muslims, you don't drink, you don't do these things. But let us try to make a conducive environment. Let's make an environment whereby you only enjoy an orange juice, or you just sit with us. How many people come inside that environment and they get addicted to alcohol and they begin to drink alcohol? So as you mentioned, just to sit on a table, to be inside their social gatherings, haram for Muslim to do. That's what they want to do. They want to spread vice. They want everyone to enjoy the haram with them. That everyone is the same. We're not the same. Fitratul mu'min, the natural disposition of believer, is at variance, is at far away from such substance, such evil that we find. قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِ الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثَّرْتُ الْخَبِيثُ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Say those things which are impure and good things, are never the same for a believer. Never the same. Once again, that Surah Al-Ma'idah, never the same for a believer. Sees right through it and knows the dangers, stays away from these substances. So this woman, she tempted. She sent her servant, said, go and call this individual. I want to make a testimony of my faith, because he's like a priest, a worshipper, a scholar. Call this individual. I want to give my testimony to him. So she calls this individual, he comes. Every time he enters into the environment, she begins to lock the doors behind him. Till eventually he's trapped with only this woman and a child and a mug of alcohol. She says to him, I will not release you until you do either one of these three things. Either you carry out this evil action with me, or you kill this boy, or you drink this mug of alcohol. So what does he do? Well, he perceives to be the lesser of the evils. He drinks the alcohol. Persons who never drank alcohol inside their life, drinks a mug of alcohol, gets drunk, commits his evil action with her and kills the boy. Carries out all the evil actions because of what? Ummul khaba'ith. The mother of all sins is alcohol. It's intoxicants that opens up. Don't be surprised. We have a serious problem inside our society, as I began with. Don't be surprised, because we are Muslims who try to hide things. We have a serious drug problem inside our society. We have a serious drug problem inside our society of heroin, of cocaine, trafficking of drugs, drug warfare with Muslims upon Muslims that we find, killing and slaying one another, harming one another, Muslims upon Muslims that we find. It's a serious problem. Some of us may think, no, these things don't exist inside a society. They do, unfortunately. Years have gone by. It's become a fact. And that's how I began on the days of Eid. people get the haram together to celebrate their Eid with these intoxicants, with this haram. If we can at least just warn one individual, each one has warned one individual, stay away from it. That would be a good beginning to warn our youth around us, because it's become pandemic. Everywhere that we look, youth are involved inside these substances, we're involved inside haram. They think nothing of it. And we live in our own bubble world. We live in our own world that we think everything around us, the world is an Islamic society. There are, out of 1,000, maybe one may practice their deen. 999 are involved inside munkarat, involved in fawahish, involved inside haram things. And I would not be extreme to say that every single young individual in general returns back to their deen has tasted that evil lifestyle in the last 10 to 15 years. Whereas many of us growing up, it was very, very rare. Very rare for a person that this would be a part of their lifestyle, their culture, to take drugs, to drink alcohol, to commit adultery, to fornicate. It was very rare. 15, 20 years, maybe the lack of our preaching inside our society, not understanding the dangers as we began. What is Iman? Iman isn't just textbook to read that this is what Iman is. That's not what Iman is. Iman is to go and apply that Iman, to revitalize people's Iman, to awaken them. We find it's shame to say there's people who practice their deen, who are addicted to drugs. What deen are you practicing? You haven't purified yourself. There may be a few rare individuals who have exceptions to the rule, but we find it common. You see it. You'll see people coming out after salah, walking towards salah, walking around the streets, going to shisha lounges, taking shisha. It's haram. Haram. The whole environment on top of that makes it haram. And you find Muslims trying to make an excuse. It's a business. What decent business is that? With musiqa, arraqs, drugs, alcohol, women, wine, every type of thing is surrounded there. And you claim this is a business? A Muslim doesn't run such type of businesses inside their life. A Muslim who sins, remember this inside, a Muslim who commits sins, ya'sillah, disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disobeys Allah where? In secret. Disobeys Allah in secret. You find fuqaha mention a person is sitting in a gathering, you're taking substance which is haram. What should you say to your brother? What have we become? We encourage our own blood brothers to take drugs, to take alcohol, to traffic it, to live that life. That's what type of Muslim become. No shame. Your own blood brother. You think this is a form of a movement, that you've become an allegiance together, that, as using the words that they mention in the streets, that no one messes about with us. You see what will happen to you inside an akhirah. You'll see what happened to you inside the grave. You're worried about no one mess about with you. Imagine the angels inside the grave when they mess about with you. When they mess about you inside the grave, one strike, that every living thing, every animal, every creature was to hear it, would drop down dead. One strike inside the qabr. And we worry about, we think about the people around us, the street credit, that no one should touch me, no one should take our substances, nobody should walk on our turf, no one should come in our zone, no one should mess about with us. These are the cliches that our Muslim youth are living in. Hatta when we intermediate with people, these so-called individuals even place guns and weapons on the table in front of imams. To say what to us? That if you speak, we'll shoot you as well. Look how shallow Muslims have become. Even to say to Islamic clerics, that if you come in the way of our lifestyle, we will shoot you. These are so-called Muslims. So-called Muslims who threaten other imams. Threaten them that you get in the way, we will shoot and kill you. To protect our honor. What honor? What dignity? What are you protecting inside your life? Haram? You think it's going to last long? Read the statistics of the amount of young youth, their lives have been taken amongst Muslims. Young individuals, 16, 17, 18, lives have been taken. And those who think they're super smart individuals, who think they're super smart individuals trafficking drugs, study the results of these individuals. 19, 20, 25, 30 years, placed inside a cellar. That's the end of their life. Everything stripped away from them. Stripped away from them. And we like to say, think this is a life. We like to glorify this life. The youth right glorify this life. That this is a life that we want to live. This is not a life that a Muslim wants to live. Muslim wants to live a life of obedience, ta'ah, goodness, encouraging other individuals to come towards goodness. If a person sins, keeps it to themselves, stays away from it. Praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep me away from this. And thus we find, وَلَا يَشْرِبُ الْخَمْرِ حِينَ يَشْرِبُ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. As we find strong ahadith that some have gone to the view, person who drinks alcohol, at that time of drinking alcohol, is not a believer. That's one view that exists, even the real meaning hadith we're going to discuss, inshallah, in a later stage, is about a weak inside their belief. But some have literally taken that belief.
Whoever drinks alcohol whilst drinking alcohol is not classified as a believer. Likewise, in a hadith that we find, avoid khamr. Because khamr, for by Allah, faith, iman and addiction cannot exist together inside the heart and the mind of the individual. One will overcome the other. Either your strength of your iman make you avoid this. Learn your iman, study your iman, place yourself in a good environment, make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make you come away from it. Or, if you don't do that, you find it will overcome you. Cannot coexist inside the heart and the mind of the believer. And that's what you mentioned, a stern warning person who gets addicted to his intoxicants. And that's what I advise myself, the rest of you, that during these blessed days of Hajj that we find, exert our effort to remind the people around us, especially the youth around us, that it's build up towards Hajj, it's build up on this blessed day of Eid, to stay away from these munkarat, stay away from these fawahish, stay away from these evil things, these evil practices, which is destroying our society, which is destroying us, destroying our identity. Likewise, the non-Muslims destroying them as well. They've concluded, they know that. We're the ones that still don't seem to recognize the dangers of these sins. Not just the sins of shirk, billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, one element, no doubt. But we fail to target upon the average sins around us inside our society of plucking our people away from it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to stay away from these sins and these vices. May Allah rahmina wa ma batan.